The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. I was deeply touched by Marcus's reading of the scriptures. I remember being 8 years old and I was not that bold. And he did it with such strength. Oh Lord, humble me. Help me. Help me to live up to my potential. Even at this stage of our lives, we still have potential, you know. And the title of the sermon today, as you see, is Praise 101. Now, do you know what that 101 means? When you see a book that's marked Math 101, what does that mean? It means it's praise for dummies. It's praise basics. And you're not dumb. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean to say that you were dumb, but it's the basics of praise. And Psalm 1, believe it or not, is very basic. In fact, when I was about 8 years old, I had memorized it. And it was taught to me by my teacher in grade 3. They don't do that anymore in school, by the way. I have taken the liberty to write down in my own words what a lot of that means. And before I do, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for showing us how much we still need to improve before you come. We thank you that you are stirring our hearts and reviving us and getting us prepared. And we thank you for the wonderful Sabbath school lessons that we have been studying, Lord, and the one today on the wedding garment, putting on the wedding garment, being ready for your coming, and wearing you as our righteousness, Lord. We understand this. We ask now that you would help us to break this teaching forward, bring it out, and see if we might be a blessing in some way to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. What I like about the Psalms is even if you were blind, you could find that book. You just feel for the middle of your Bible and open it up, and there's Psalms. Psalm 145. And we shall begin at the beginning. I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. That's a great way to start a service, a prayer, a time of fellowship with God. He just breaks out into praise. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up those who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you. They do. And you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him in truth, He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will also hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love Him. But the wicked He will destroy. My mouth shall speak of the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless His holy name forever and ever. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful song? Why praise? And what did he say in Psalm 1 at the beginning? Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't take bad advice from bad people. Don't remain in sinful company, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Don't ridicule what others do or put them down. Godly people don't do that. You don't ridicule others and put them down. Follow God's instructions, for His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth He meditate day and night. Follow His instructions and counsel and laws gladly and cheerfully. Doing, obeying, following the commandments should be a joy. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And if you want to delight in the law of the Lord, meditate in it day and night. All the laws of God are for your good. If you follow His commandments, you will be blessed. Happy are you who do His commandments. Think about doing God's will all the time. God is good all the time. We should be good all the time. Should we not? For they shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. These type of attitudes will cause you to draw deeply from God's storehouse, and you will prosper in all that you do. But it does say something about the ungodly. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The ungodly are doomed. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand. What does it say, Marcus? Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Don't take bad advice. Don't take ungodly counsel. There are many. What is ungodly counsel, by the way? It is, there are many voices talking to us today. Radio, television, the internet, telling us what we should do, how we should think, what we should eat, drink, and wear, what gadgets we should buy. There's so many voices. The only advice I want to hear is advice that I ask for. So many people offering unsolicited advice. How about you? Do you like it when people bug you and bug you and bug you? We get phone calls all the time from people that want to sell you this and sell you that. And Jean has the best attitude. She says, just politely say thank you and quickly get off the phone as quickly as you can. Sometimes I just, especially when you get those annoying ones that it's just a recording anyway, there's nobody there. But they want to manipulate you. They want you to listen to, read, buy, wear, drive, eat, whatever they are selling. And this world believes that money solves all problems, but it also causes all problems. Indeed, for some, money is the problem, or rather the lack of it. So in this country that promotes life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the pursuit of money is the avenue to that happiness. Apparently, to some people. Many believe we are happy in proportion to the money we have. Much money equals much happiness. Little money equals little happiness. When in reality, happiness can never be bought. You can buy a high for a while, but not happiness. Happiness is cheap. It costs you nothing. It needs no pursuit. You do not have to chase after happiness. Happiness is a choice you make. When you wake up in the morning, you can choose to be happy or you can choose to be miserable. I choose to be happy. How about you? I do. Oh, Grant, you may say, it's not that simple. Yes, it is. It works for me. I don't go looking for some person, place, or thing to make me happy. I am happy. So what have I to be happy about? Much. Speaks of two types of people. Number one, the godly. And number two, the ungodly. The godly is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. His delight is in the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord makes him happy. So happy that he meditates on it day and night. I can't think about hardly anything else but what God has prepared for us. If we are true and faithful to him and we follow him all the way and we overcome, we shall inherit all things. All of this shall pass away and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth and we will inherit all things. We're rich. We're kings. We're priests. We're princes. We're princesses. Well, whatever we are, we're children of God. And we've got a wonderful future, even though the in-between time between now and then might get a little bit difficult. If everything is going just rosy for you, look out. It's coming. Because there was a man called Murphy. Everybody knows about Murphy? Okay. Murphy was a very wise man. Whatever can go wrong will go wrong. But Murphy is not the end of the story, because we have hope beyond this life. If all that we have is this life, Paul says we are of all men most miserable. And the more you look around you, the signs and the events of the day and what's going on in the world, the Bible says men's hearts are failing them for fear. But Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, ye may be also. And if I go, I will bring you to myself. Jesus has got a future mapped out for you if you want it. But you can't possibly understand what I'm saying if you are miserable. You need to understand that if we delight in the law of the Lord, it will make you happy. Again, I will say, there's no person, place, or thing on this earth that makes me happy, that I depend on to make me happy. If I depended on somebody else for my happiness, how many people do that, though? Do you know what they call that in today's language? Codependency. Means you need somebody else to make you happy, and if they don't love you, you're going to go out in the backyard and eat worms. Isn't that the way a lot of people think? They think, I got to be in a relationship. I can't live alone. But if you know God, if you know Jesus, then whatever state you're in, Paul says, he says, I have learned therewith to be content. And Bible says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Yes, it's nice to have a good, stable relationship and to be in love with somebody. That's lovely, that's wonderful, but I do not depend upon that for my basic, fundamental praise 101 worship experience of happiness. If you are godly, and you either are or you aren't, you should be the happiest person on the planet. So why are so many Christians so miserable? It is because they are so worried about what they don't have that they forget to thank God for what they do have. We are blessed. Even when something terrible happens to our car, yet we come out unscratched, we are blessed. Even though we deal with an infirmity and we deal with it all our life and it never seems to get better, yet sometimes we have other things that come our way and God will deliver us from them. I'm thinking of Wilhelmina, who has had an infirmity for a long, long time, but it was getting worse, and God brought her back from almost being an invalid to where she can walk and function and be a blessing. You see, so we thank God for what He has done and what He is doing. We count our blessings. Counting your blessings are what most of the Psalms are all about: praising and thanking God. Take some time each day to do this. Count your blessings. And by the time you are all through doing that, there should be such a smile on your face that it should last you well into the middle of next week. And when that runs out, count them again. You see, happiness is a state of mind brought on by the realization of not who we are, but whose we are. We belong to Christ. We are hid with Christ in God. This makes us godly. And knowing this should make us happy. So that is why and how I can wake up in the morning and choose to be happy. Now the ungodly are not so. Their future is oblivion. Like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Their future is not good. Who are the ungodly? Well, that's really simple. Everyone else. Everyone who is not godly is ungodly. Which are you? You need to make a choice. If you are a Seventh-day Adventist and you are a revived Seventh-day Adventist, you will be happy. How could you not? If you're in a state of revival, if you're revived in your soul, could you walk around with a long face? You see, revival starts with me. Revival starts with you. And it's all a matter of your attitude towards everything that makes you what you are. So happy, you will glow, you will shine with the love of Christ in your heart. Shine and bring forth your fruit in its season. Your personality should attract people to you, and people well know that you have been with Jesus. It is revival time. Revival is here, and it is here. Did you get that? Revival is here in your heart. It's here and it's here. And if we so choose. Are you happy? All right. One more reading and then I'm done. The last psalm. Very last one. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise Him in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Shall we pray? We praise You, Lord, because You have done all this all by Yourself. You didn't need any help from me. You came down in the form of the man Christ Jesus. You offered His life a sacrifice for the whole world. Now we know, Lord, the whole world will not accept it. The ungodly are not so. We pray, Lord, that You would open up the hearts and minds of the listeners today, that they might appropriate godliness, that they might put on the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness, that they will be Your children and You will be their God. And we will go forth from this place with a changed attitude, with a smile on our face, knowing and having godliness with contentment. I ask and I believe in Jesus' name. Amen.